morning, everyone. Welcome. It's so good to see you. Dennis and Pat and Mary, welcome. I see Alexandra. Welcome. And Bert. So glad you are here. I see Marcia. And I think I see Betty with her. Hello, Betty. Other people beginning to come in, go ahead and make yourselves comfortable. You can either get your coffee or read the announcements. You can put a joy or a sorrow in the chat if you have something casual that you'd like us to see. We'll also have a more formal joys and sorrows time later in the service. Good morning, Nancy and Carolyn and Lisa, Robert and Susie and Puppy, and Joe, welcome. What they mean when they say the tinkling of the ivories. We are so glad everyone is here this morning. Or adult faith formation.
Reverend, I'm here because I've written some books, so please let me know when it would be appropriate to talk about them a little bit.
I'm sorry, say that again.
I'm here because I've written some books, one of which features Durango, Colorado. So please let me know when it would be appropriate to talk about them.
It would be appropriate to talk about that after we break into small groups, after the service is over. So stay for that.
Sounds good to me.
After we finish, you're welcome to stay and join one of the groups.
Thank you.
Oh, pretty.
That was a flower, if everybody wanted to remember what that was. A flower. That sunflower in front of the church.
Almost forgot.
It'll be summer again someday. Microphones in just a minute.
Hi, Ken Carpenter.
Hello.
Good morning, Ken. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
The words calling us to worship this morning come from the Reverend Christian Smith. Let us wake up.
Not just from the Sunday morning exhaustion, from the wish for a few more drowsy minutes in bed.
Let us wake up to this world we live in, to its beauty and wonder, and also to its tragedy and pain.
We must wake up to this reality that not all in our world have what we do, however much or little that is.
We must wake up to the idea that our wholeness, our lives, are only as complete as the lives of those around us, of those we are inextricably tied to in a great web of mutuality, of which all of us are part.
We must stay woke, in the words of our friends and colleagues involved in Black Lives Matter, working every day for racial justice in our country.
Let us wake up. Let us stay awake. Let us stay woke. And now, in this time and place, let us worship together. We acknowledge that the land we gather on as a congregation, where we live, work, and play, was not freely given to us. We are gathered on the ancestral land of the Nuchu, or Ute, Apache, the Pueblos, Hopi, Zuni, and Diné Nation. We recognize the indigenous peoples as original stewards of this land. As these words are spoken and heard, the ties nations have to their ancestral homelands are renewed and reaffirmed. We acknowledge that our use of and benefit from this land came at a dire cost to Native nations and peoples whose land we now inhabit. I am Katie Kandarian Morris, minister of the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Durango. I'm so grateful to be creating community with you today, a congregation of beautiful, caring, and justice-striving people. We gather virtually, keeping each other safe. It is a balm being together as we respond to the world's brokenness with our liberal religious values of hope and love. Unitarian Universalists have radical roots and a history as self-motivated spiritual people. We think for ourselves and recognize that life experience influences our beliefs more than anything. We gather in the spirit of covenant. If you are new to this fellowship, we welcome you. Please type a message to the chat that you're new, and our communications coordinator, Shannon Beaver, will reach out to you to greet you personally. We'd love to add you to our e-newsletter list. Please stay after worship for our informal small group virtual coffee hour. And leading our service with me today is our worship team, Tom Miller, worship associate, Sarah Sauter, interim director of faith formation, is serving today as our storyteller, Shannon Beaver and Cheryl Guy are our greeters, James Mirabal leads our tech support along with Dennis McClure. Our musician today is Lawrence Nass, and Elizabeth Crawford will lead our hymn today. The UUA has asked us to take a poll. Whenever the UU Commission on Social Witness proposes a statement of conscience that will go to our gathered General Assembly for discussion and possible adoption, the UUA asks certified UU congregations, we are one of those, to participate in a poll to say if we wish it to go forward. The SOC, the Commission on Social Witness, asks the UUA organizations and members to actively engage, here's what it is, in undoing intersectional white supremacy in all of its manifestations. It calls for one, action to engage with the movement to overcome racism in our communities through organized social action. And two, carrying forward healing actions described in Widening the Circle of Concern. We're going to be talking about some of those today. And three, building relationships across boundaries of privilege and oppression. We announced this in your Friday e-announcements. I hope you took a look in there. So now, UUFD, we will now take a poll where you can vote yes or no on the following question. I'm going to tell you how to do it in a minute, okay? Here's the question. Should the draft statement of conscience entitled Undoing Intersectional White Supremacy be placed on the final agenda of the General Assembly 2021? That'll be held in June. Now, please look at the bottom of your screens. We've sorted this out for you that you might find this button in a different place depending on whether you are using a Mac or a PC. But the button would either be, if you're using a Mac, it'll be with your reactions button down at the bottom. So find that and click on it. You'll see the yes or no. Don't press it yet. Just find it. If you are using a PC, you'll find it where you have your participants button. So click on that and you should be able to find your yes or no. Okay, I'm gonna wait a second and I'm gonna make sure I can see you all. Have you located the yes or no button? Look around a little bit. I'll just kind of sing for you while you're finding it. On the right, you can find it under reactions. I just made up the song. If you have a Mac, it should be there. If you have a PC, You could find it under participants. Yeah? Okay, I saw some people voted already. You might have to do it again if it goes away. Okay, you're voting. Okay, I was gonna call for the vote, but go for it. Just vote. And I see people are voting now. Yes, 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 yes.
Hey, I didn't get it.
It will be either under your reactions or your participants. People,
I see you.
If you can't find it, go ahead and raise your hand if your answer is yes, and then I'll make sure I ask for no's. All right, I don't have to have an exact vote because it's a poll. And I'm hoping that we'll be able to say that we would like to put it on there. Okay. I think that looks good. Now I'm going to just make sure that, raise your hand if you didn't find it, if you weren't included in the poll. Raise your hand. Okay, if you, that's a yes for a yes. And is there anybody that wants to vote no?
I don't know. I don't know what it's about. I came late. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. I see that we have enough yeses that our congregation can agree that we would like to have that statement of conscience included on the General Assembly agenda. And it will say, the question will be posed to the delegates at the General Assembly, the draft statement of conscience. In other words, it's a draft. It means we're going to work on it some more before we accept it. It will, the draft statement of conscience would be undoing intersectional white supremacy. So if you're like, well, what is that? I want to know more. You can go to the UUA website and find out more, read about it. And you might even want to talk to the board, our UUFD Board of Trustees, to be a delegate, because we get a number of delegates to attend General Assembly, and we're going to be doing it virtually, so you don't even have to get on an airplane. We have at least four. Maybe we've even gotten another delegate because our numbers have gone up. So we will need delegates to attend and be at those business meetings. It can be a lot of fun if you like that sort of thing. All right, thanks everybody for participating. Well, we define worship as shaping things of worth. In doing so, we create community, providing opportunities for transformation.
This morning, as we light our chalice, I'll speak and lead the affirmation. We'll continue our recent practice of speaking our affirmation while staying muted, which allows everyone to acknowledge the peace of these sacred words. We invite you to feel what it's like to focus on our affirmation in this way, a way that calls us to be present just with the words, not just with the words, but also deeply with the spirit of the covenant that calls us to be present with each other. The words are in the chat box if you need them. We hope you'll also say the words out loud at home so you can hear your voice as well as mine. And please check to see that you're muted. Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest for truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge in freedom, to serve human need. For these high purposes do we unite in worship.
All right. I invite you now, if you aren't already, go up to the right corner and change your screen to gallery view so that you can see all the boxes. That'll help you see who's present. And now, keeping the attitude of reverence and hospitality, you are welcome to unmute yourself and offer each other a gentle greeting of peace and welcome to those making up our congregation today. Peace be with you.
Welcome,
Alexandra.
All right. Peace be with you. We share our joys and sorrows in a ritual of candle lighting in community. If you are so moved, I invite you to offer a joy or sorrow of a personal nature. And a reminder, please, no issues of a political kind until we get to the breakout rooms after worship. And I will go ahead and light a candle for you. If you have a joy or sorrow, please type your name in the chat so we can identify you. And also please offer just a phrase or two, being mindful of others. I'm going to begin today lighting a candle to represent all of us who are concerned about our fragile and sacred democracy. On this Martin Luther King Day Sunday and the upcoming Inauguration Day, we pray for peace and for a peaceful transition of power. For those serving as leaders for our democracy, we pray for wisdom, for courage, for open minds and hearts to trust truth. For all of us, may we light a candle for hope and resilience as we navigate these days ahead. I'll go ahead and start with that candle, and Tom will call upon people who've put their name in the chat. We light this candle.
Okay, let's see. Let's start with Jory.
Good morning, everyone. I do have yoga intensive this morning, but I'm not there because I decided this was more important. I have a sorrow for my roommate, whose name is Ari Wood. His stepdad is in the hospital, and it seems that he had a stroke and has been on a ventilator and is probably not going to make it because of COVID. And my prayer goes out to him to be able to process that well. He's getting a lot of pressure from his family to go back to Texas and be with them, and he doesn't feel like that's in alignment. So just Richard Wood, put in your hearts. Thank you.
We light this candle.
Suzanne A., you're next. Are you ready to unmute, Suzanne?
It's a strange joy. A close friend and colleague, Ray Castellano, who was one of the leaders in the somatic movement, somatic therapy movement, and in listening to babies and helping parents connect with their babies when there was attachment disorder, died of pancreatic cancer, which is what they're following me to prevent with pancreatic cysts that I have. Anyway, his death was one of the most amazing that I've ever heard about in terms of how he went into it and the team of eight people who were around him over the last weeks made all the difference. But it was his spiritual practice that allowed him to be actually enthusiastic about dying. And his dying has helped me be less afraid. And 680 people went to his online service yesterday, and it was one of the highlights of my life. Thank you.
We light this candle.
Sophia.
I have a joy that me and my mom got to hang out with Mr. Tom and Miss Bonnie yesterday. It was really fun in their backyard.
We light this candle.
It was fun. John or Susan K.
I have a concern and a care about Julia Brill. Ask you all to keep her in your thoughts. She had successful surgery in Denver on Monday, but continues to be in the hospital, and that's Porter Adventist in Denver, because she's still needing to be hospitalized in order to have the care which she needs for her recovery. So please keep her in your thoughts.
We light this candle.
June, you're next.
My younger brother was hospitalized this week. He's been in the hospital about 4 days with COVID symptoms, negative tests each time. And so he's feeling better, but they did find a heart fibrillation issue. So, you know, he says it's a good thing that he had to go in the hospital with fever because they found this other issue and he'll be just fine. So it's a joy.
We light this candle.
Allison.
Hi, I have a joy because I'm here in Phoenix with my mom and that makes us both really happy. Thank you.
We light this candle.
Unmute, Tom. Tom, you need to unmute, please. There you go.
Yeah, I didn't know that I got muted. Okay, sorry. Judy H.
I think that's me.
That's you.
Okay. I had a spectacular awakening this week through the New York Times, and I want to urge everyone to consider this and to find a source where you can read it. The article was titled Debatable, and I know that this is not political. It is huge about social media and power. So please look for it.
We light this candle.
I, at this point, see nobody else in the chat line. Is anybody else waving their hand? Can't tell. Looks like that's it at this point, Katie.
So we will let this last candle symbolize the silent prayers we hold in our hearts. May we hold close all these appeals. And now let's move into a deeper spirit of prayer. Words today adapted from the Reverend Marta Valentin. Words that she wrote for those at the border. Spirit of compassion, isn't it amazing how we crave to know an outcome before it's time? Even as we accept that we cannot know how anything will go. We do not know if the mounds of obstacles will become dirt cleared away, of earth made into mountain. We do not know if fresh air will degenerate into a stagnant suffocation, or be sucked out of lives longing to breathe freely and easily. If the deserts will spring a true oasis or continue to offer a false vision of survival. If the shores will be flowing invitations into unfathomable freedoms or a fearfully ebbed withdrawal of even the tiniest hospitality. We who walk on ground taken for granted, we who speak of an earth that has no borders, ask for guidance as we aid those in need, as well as those who would obstruct our care. Spirit of compassion, strengthen our resolve to carry forth this ministry, regardless of the reality of the decisions made to seemingly thwart our efforts.
Let us, in one grounded body, strong in our Unitarian Universalist faith, in solidarity with those whose lives are most at stake, resolve never to give up this fight for them, nor for our country. Let ours be the hearts that resolve, whether through easy or tough times. We'll hold silence just for a moment, and I'll play the Tibetan bowl. May it be so. Blessed be. Amen. Amen. Ashe.
One man come in the name of love. One man come and go. One man come, he to justify. One man to overthrow. In the name of love. One more in the name of love. In the name of love. One more. One man washed on an empty beach. One man betrayed with a kiss. In the name of love. One man, in the name of love. In the name of love. One more in the name of.
As usual, very lovely. Thank you, Lawrence. Well, this month's theme, our Soul Matters theme throughout the congregation in worship and faith formation a little bit and in small groups has been imagination. So let's take a moment and imagine. Can you imagine what this might become? Can you see that? When I did this earlier, it fell on the floor and it took me forever to find it. but that's a seed. What might this become? Or how about this seed? What might it become? It could become a coffee tree. It could actually become a cup of coffee. And then there's this one. What could this become? I wonder what these different seeds could become. Can you imagine a seed that would become this giant baobab tree? Or can you imagine a seed becoming this? This is the truffula tree from Dr. Seuss, right? Well, today I want to tell you about this seed. This is not what you're supposed to be seeing now, so forget you all saw that. This seed is a pinion seed. And I want to tell you a little bit of a story about the pinion seed. My neighbor is a biologist. He knows a whole lot about biology, and he's a PhD, and he used to work for this great university. And now he's my neighbor. And so he teaches me a lot about what's in my yard. And he also has a great imagination and tells great stories. So he told me the sweetest story about this pinion seed and pinion jays. Pinion jays are those blue and gray birds that we see up in the trees in the mountains. And of course, the pinion seed comes from the pinion pine tree. But imagine a time when it does not become a pinion pine seed. It becomes something else. You see, the male pinion jay uses a pinion seed to court or attract a female pinion jay. First, he finds the coolest, nicest pinion jay he can find, a really super nice one. And then he takes this really nice seed and drops it in front of a female. And she takes a look at the male jay, and she looks at the seed, and she's like, hell, I don't think so. And if she doesn't like the jay or the seed, she flies away. So the male jay may take a few efforts to find a female that likes him and his seed. But when finally the female jay that likes him sees the seed in front of her, she picks it up. And then when she picks it up, she takes it and builds it into her nest. So this seed actually becomes, and I hope if I can get it for you, it becomes a home for a family. I'm sorry I can't show you the picture, but it's a beautiful little picture of a pinion jay nest with little eggs in it. So sometimes a seed can become a tree, and sometimes it can become a family. And that's the story about imagination that I want to leave with you today. And I invite you to join us now in faith formation by clicking on the link in your chat, and we'll see you there.
The Reverend Viola Abbott wrote these words for the work that we did in 2017 called The Promise and the Practice. It was a Sunday worship service centering voices of Black UUs. It was a turning moment. On this MLK Sunday, I'd like to offer it again for us. We are Unitarian Universalists. When we lift up our seven principles, some of us think of them as a form of theology, but they are more important to our collective than that. They do not tell us what we should believe. They tell us how we should be. They tell us how we should act in the larger world and with each other. We are brought here today by the fact that Unitarian Universalism has fallen short of the image that was presented to the world and to many of those who embraced this religion. But we are also brought here today by the truth that Unitarian Universalism has shifted course to move toward a place of wholeness, a place that perhaps never existed for us as a denomination. It has been a long and sometimes unforgiving road to today, but we are here today because we are mindful of that past and because we have hope for the future. We want the practice of this faith to be a fulfilling manifestation of its promise. Open your hearts, seek new ways of understanding. Here ends the reading. I have always believed it important for us to be reminded of Dr. King's radical message beyond that of his I Have a Dream speech. Words that urge us to move out of an old comfort. In the last book published before his assassination, King spoke directly to us. He said, "The white liberal must rid himself of the notion that there can be a tensionless transition from the old order of injustice to the new order of justice." That book, Where Do We Go From Here? Chaos or Community, was written in 1967. I think that Dr. King would tell us the same thing today. In June of 2020, at the last General Assembly, the UUA Commission on Institutional Change brought forth their report titled Widening the Circle of Concern. Produced as a book, and I was going to show it to you, and then of course I left it in the other room. It's a beautiful blue book. It is also available for all of us to download as a free PDF. And Shannon is going to post in the chat the link so that you can find that. And if you're not able to navigate that, don't worry about it, because you can, after the service is over, you can simply go to the UUA website and see where it's available for your download. And in fact, I'll write myself a note to put it in next week's e-announcements. Why is this report being sent to us with an urging that we take up the work? Well, in 2017, and you heard some readings earlier from that time, our then UUA co-presidents lamented the learnings of the assembled Black, Indigenous, and people of color, what we call BIPOC, Black, Indigenous, people of color. They identified the perennial problem of race in Unitarian Universalism, now being understood as a theological mandate. In other words, how we deeply understand ourselves and how we want to be. 3 years past that gathering of BIPOC, the report shows that we have made some progress on specific items named at the outset. In particular, at the General Assembly, voices of Black people, Indigenous people, and people of color have been centered. And the UUA leadership has become more diverse when they took seriously hiring practices. And in our congregations, more white people are engaged in anti-oppression work. We see that engagement right here at home with our strong and active healing racism team, whose leaders meet regularly, determining future plans. And we are leading a year-long dive into understanding our own white fragility for those who so identify, and for Black, Indigenous, and people of color who want to take part. And yet, the Commission on Institutional Change's report tells us that there's more to do. We still too often confuse social customs among us with theology, The way we sometimes practice our beliefs in our communities can cause harm, confusion, and pain. The patterns and habits of white supremacy culture are often unacknowledged or unrecognized or even at times openly denied. The Pew report that was also included in this report shows the general movement away from religious institutions in general, reminding us that what is at stake is the future of our faith. If we didn't see it before, since Charlottesville, white extremist hate groups have been all over the news and our towns. We see them and we know what they're about. So why do we talk about the work we need to do in our congregation as dismantling white supremacy culture? What is really happening deeper than the hate that we see is that we live in a culture that reproduces, sometimes overtly and sometimes very subtly, the idea that white is supreme. Our work is to begin to break it down. It's complicated. I sometimes struggle to imagine how to respond in our isolated southwestern Colorado congregation. It's so easy to think of ourselves as separate from the problem. I find myself dealing with overwhelm rather than imagination. I deal with my own overwhelm as I reflect on the dominant monocultural makeup of our leadership in the community of Durango, or even in our own fellowship. And yet, I'm still walking through my house, singing the hymns we heard last Sunday, repeating the language from the verse, "What though the tempest round me roars, I know the truth it liveth." While the tempest, or as King calls it, chaos, may be swirling about us, the truth that lives is the power of building community that is willing to create change. It used to be that we thought our only action on MLK Day was to march or to participate in a day of service, and then return to business as usual. The pandemic has taught us there will be no going back. Last week's sedition and insurrection, and let's be clear, I never thought I'd be saying sedition or insurrection when I was talking about our country. Those violent white supremacist attacks should make it crystal clear that the work facing us is not trivial. At a committee meeting I attended last week, someone brought up the evening vigil that we held at UUFD back in November of 2016. Some of you were likely there. And at that event, we welcomed the community to our congregation for some post-election soul food. Although the results of that election might have felt like a shock that we would elect a president who had made it crystal clear to us that he would be a promoter of hate, many, especially Black, Indigenous, and people of color, were not surprised at the direction our nation had taken. The signs had been there all along. We lit candles that night on our candelabrum, offering prayers for hope and sustenance. Then 2 months later, we marched down a snowy main avenue, making our values clear. And in the years since, UUFD has grown to welcome more members and more friends whose values include those embraced in our principles, where we name the use of the democratic process and the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. We have distributed and posted yard signs and spelled it out on the street side of our sanctuary in large letters, shouting the statement that love is love and Black Lives Matter. Our singing last week, that was a response too, after watching in horror the January 6th violence against the democracy that is so core to UUism. This movement that has been called a candidate for the great American faith. So, as an antidote to my own overwhelm, I feel inspired to push forward to the charge given by prophetic voices, to move to a new order of justice, to stretch, to widen the circle, and to co-create the beloved community, what we call our name for the kingdom of God. Take a deep breath, because this is the last Sunday of this current administration. I want to show you something. Look at this. Can you see it? Oh, it's so tiny to read, but we're going to try to do a little close-up. This was a full-page ad that ran in the New York Times last Monday. And you can see there that it's got a request there. Oh, and who is part of that full-page ad? Black Lives of Unitarian Universalism and the Unitarian Universalist Association. Widening the Circle of Concern is a textbook for our goals and values, for keeping our faith strong, for responding to the hate that we see trying to squash the democracy and inclusion we so love. Unitarian Universalism is not perfect, but I can't imagine a better place to be addressing the struggles of the world. May we trust this faith that sustains and grows with us in all of our days. And until we are together again, know that I love you. Amen. Amin. Ashe. Blessed be.
Just a little while. Open up your eyes and look at the day. You'll see things in a different way. Don't stop thinking about tomorrow. Don't stop. It'll soon be here. It'll be here better than before. Yesterday's gone. Yesterday's gone. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Lawrence. As we begin our offering, a reminder that there's three ways you can make a donation. First, by check, or you can go on our website, and you can also text using your phone checking that. And pretty soon, we've got it in the chat line now. All those ways to make a donation. Our offering words today are adapted from a prayer by Odette Fulbright Folsom. We have gathered once again to rejoice in the light offered to the world by Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. His walk on this earth was a gift to generations, and today we give thanks for that gift. We know that we are called together today not simply to rejoice and be glad that such a man was given to us for a time, but rather to heed the calls he made to us, the same calls that reverberate now as they did when he was alive, the same calls that have been made time and time again in a voice of justice that calls us throughout the ages. We are called to hear that same word of truth that Dr. King spoke, that the hungry and poor are with us still. It is not enough to march and remember. The work we are called to do is to feed hungry children and to wipe the tears from our siblings' eyes. It's not enough to sing a joyful song. We must also build the houses that will give shelter to every adult and child and allow them full security and dignity. Your gifts today add to the support of our increasingly robust social justice efforts and enable us to be real contributing partners in alliance with others who are also deeply involved in the work of racial justice. We encourage you to give generously to support our beloved community and our work in the world to widen the circle of concern and build a new order of justice. Your gifts are received with gratitude.
On September the 2nd, 1957, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. visited Highlander Folk School in Tennessee. Part of the school's mission was to help prepare civil rights workers to challenge unjust laws and racist policies that discriminated against African Americans. The school also made a point of bringing blacks and whites together to share experiences and to learn from each other. It was a dangerous idea. Dr. King delivered the main speech that day honoring the school's 25th anniversary. As part of the meeting, folk singer Pete Seeger got up with his banjo. He plucked out a song that he'd learned at Highlander and led the audience in singing it. That song was "We Shall Overcome." It soon became the anthem of the civil rights movement in the 50s and the 60s. The song spread rapidly as the civil rights movement gained momentum. Protesters sang it as they marched for voting rights. They also sang it as they were beaten up, attacked by police dogs, and hauled off to jail for breaking laws enforcing segregation. The song offered courage, comfort, and hope as protesters confronted prejudice and hate in the battle for equal white rights for African Americans. Remembering these early fighters for racial justice, please sing this song with me. The words are in chat. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall I do believe
shall all be free someday. We shall live in peace. We shall live in peace. We shall live in peace someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe we shall live in peace someday.
We'll extinguish our chalice. Whether that's here in my house, at Tom Miller's house, or at your house. And let us take our courage from 19th century Unitarian minister Edward Everett Hale's encouragement. I am only one, he said, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do. And then more recently, from Bill Sinkford, the first Black president of the UUA. There is so much work to do. We have only begun to imagine justice and mercy. Help us to hold fast to our vision of what that can be. May we see the hope in our history and find the courage and the voice to work for that constant rebirth of freedom and justice. That is our dream. Let's do it. Go in peace. Amen. Stay with us, won't you, for breakout rooms to have virtual coffee and fellowship with those in the congregation.